Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate podcast with Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate. Why do we do it? We do it for the purposes of creating passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. If you're interested in finding your freedom number, come over to our website at morrisinvest.com/freedom and download your free financial freedom cheat sheet today. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris, the founder of Morris Invest. We're a turnkey real estate company, and we've rehabbed thousands of homes. On today's show, we're going to talk about high return real estate. What exactly is high return real estate? Why do you want to look for high return real estate when you're investing? And how to break down some of the mechanics and the return on investment numbers. We're going to show you how to do that in today's video. So at a high level, I've been a real estate investor for a number of years. I didn't start out as a high return real estate investor, meaning I overpaid, I made some mistakes, and I just wanted to be involved in real estate investing. Most people get allured by the idea of real estate investing, but they don't realize there are two types of real estate investors. There are those who invest in real estate with low returns, and then there are those who invest in real estate with high returns. What's the difference? Well, oftentimes people will invest in real estate and not know what they're doing, and they may get a 2% return on their investment. They may get a very small return on their investment, and that's okay. But those people are stock market investors. Those are the people who are making money in the stock market, and they're getting about a 2 to 3% return. And someone might come to those people and say, hey, I have an opportunity for you to invest in real estate, you know, in California or Denver, Colorado, and you're going to get about a 2 to 3% return, and it'll be diversification in your portfolio, meaning you already have a bunch of stocks, you're getting about a 3% return. Why not own some real estate also? Now you're diversified, and you're going to get a 2 to 3% return on your investment. So tons of people invest in real estate that way. For instance, I will tell you, one of our longtime investors at Morris Invest, he's a doctor. We have many doctors who invest with us, but he admitted to me he had invested like that with low returns. Years ago, he had bought a property in Arizona, or he bought two properties in Arizona. And the first time I talked to him, we jokingly had a conversation about it. I said, well, how are those doing for you? You know, what's the return like? Are you getting a high return? What is the ROI that you're getting? And he said, nothing like what you get. and here's a doctor admitting, you know, after whatever, 13 years of schooling, he knows, his specialty, right? He knows how to operate on a person's spinal column, right? That's what he does. But when it came to real estate, he just kind of, you know, diversified his portfolio and got a lower return, but he was still into real estate. And he wanted to step his game up a lot. He wanted to start taking that next step and started wanting to get a high return on his his real estate investments. So now we're going to break down exactly what a high return real estate investment looks like and why it's so important to invest this way. Because we're not in it to just sit there and hold these properties with a low return. No, no, no. We want monthly consistent cash flow at a high level. So how do we do it? Well, number one, we want to find wholesale properties, okay? This is the mistake. This is the number one mistake that investors like our good friend the doctor make. They call up a local realtor. Do phones even look like this? I'm holding my finger up to my thumb, up to my head. He called a local realtor and he said, I'd like to buy some investment property. Can you help me find a property? Sure. There's an apartment downtown, there's a townhouse, you know, right in the heart of downtown Phoenix. And how about, you know, $400,000? Hold on to that property. It might appreciate a little bit, but that's a good investment. All right, great. you know what you're talking about, Mr. Realtor. I'll take it. And that's what so many people do. But they don't realize that there's a whole other world out there of properties that aren't being sold by a realtor, that are off market, that need work in order to bring value up on the property. And therefore, you're able to keep it below market value and have a higher return on your investment. Those are the properties that I buy. Those are the properties that our investors that we work with through my company, they buy those properties because they're going to get below market, a higher return, and they're not going to be paying above market and a lower return. So wholesale properties are the key. Number one, that's a huge key in getting a high return on your investment. So high return real estate, wholesale properties, that's number one. Number two is location. So often people will say, I'm going to find a property. I own a property here in California, or like our good doctor, I own a property in Phoenix, Arizona, and they're paying $300,000 for this property. Well, I'm here to tell you that the value of that property for a single family home, the cutoff point for the value of that property, anything over like $120,000, $125,000 is going to not keep up with the rental value, meaning, or the vice versa, the rental value is not going to keep up with the cost of that property. The higher you go on that property, the rent is not going to keep it up. It's not going to stay consistent. And if you're listening to this instead of watching it, my hands are going back and forth because it's like a bar graph. You know, you think about it going up, up, up. Well, the rent is not going up, up, up in the same consistent fashion as the cost of the property. So let me put it to you this way. $150,000 for a house, single family home. Let's just say it's 3 bedrooms, 2 baths in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay. If you then take that $150,000 house, you think maybe it'll rent for $1,000 a month. Okay, great. Well, if you paid $200,000 for that house, or it increases to $200,000, do you think that the rent is now going to be $1,500 a month? And if you paid $250,000 for the house, do you think that the rent is going to be $2,000 a month? And then if you paid $250,000 for the house, do you think that the rent is now going to be $2,500 a month? No, 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 no. That's not how it works. Anything beyond $150,000, and I don't buy anything that costly. That's ridiculous. Anything $150,000, the rent is not going to stay in the same ratio as your increases in value. Always remember that for a single family home. So if you bought a $500,000 home, do you think you're going to be making $5,000 a month in rent? Nope, you're not. It might go up incrementally, but it's not going to keep up with the value of that house. So location, where you're purchasing the properties, where you can find affordable properties, that is going to be key to getting high return real estate. So for me, I like to be in that $40,000, $50,000 range. And some of the new construction properties that I do, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, brand new houses, I like to do are in that $60,000 range. But that's about it. That's as high as I go. $60,000, $65,000, $68,000. That's my ceiling because I can still get great return on investment. Now, if I start going into the 70s and 80s, then we start going down. So the most that I end up doing is just below 70,000 in that 65, 68,000. I bought a lot of properties in that range, and I'm able to still command a great rent, and my ratios still work. So location matters, because if you're in Phoenix or you're in Atlanta, you're going to be overpaying for properties. You're going to be paying more than you would if you were in markets where we do our properties, for instance, you know, parts of Florida, parts of Indiana and Michigan, where we're still, you know, in Pennsylvania, we're able to get great bang for our buck in our properties because we're able to find them off market. You know, if I buy a batch of 30 properties at one time, you know, I have to put up a lot of money in order to do that. Then we renovate the properties and we're bringing it up to a great standard, but it's still going to be below the market value if a realtor had sold me that house. And that's the key that so many new investors don't understand, not overpaying for those properties. Today's episode is brought to you by Sanebox. That's Sane, B-O-X, Sane Box. Now, let me ask you a question. How many emails do you have in your inbox right now? If it's anything like me, holy smokes, it ends up being a ridiculous amount of emails. Now, I get a ton of different pitches and requests, you know, speaking engagement things, you name it. I get hundreds of emails a day. And I'm going to tell you right now, my life would be totally different if I did not have Sane Box. I started using Sane Box about 2 years ago now, and it is a game changer. Even though I knew I wanted to do something about getting my email wrangled and figured out what to do with it all, I didn't know how. So I knew that I would miss something important. What if, you know, we had an investor that needed a particular answer on something? Or what if a relative sent a birthday invitation and I had to respond to it? You know, I don't want to just delete them all. And I didn't want it going to some weird spam folder somewhere. So then I finally learned about SaneBox and how I could get to inbox zero every day and sort of take back my email sanity. Here's how SaneBox works, and I can't recommend it enough. They sort through your email, and they move all of the crap, all of the trivial stuff into a different folder that they create so that only messages in my inbox are the ones that I actually want to see. Now, aside from removing all the junk so you can focus on messages that matter, there's this great feature called Sane Black Hole. And when you move an email into that Sane Black Hole, you'll never hear from that sender again. I get a lot of junk email, people trying to sell me properties. You know, that's what I do for a living, right? I know our properties, and I'll get random crap properties that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. You know, get this deal now, fast. Clayton, take advantage of that. I don't want to hear from those people. So I move that into my Sane Black Hole folder, and I never have to see it again. You know, hey, Pottery Barn catalog, whatever it is, any of that kind of stuff goes into that Sane Black Hole, and I'll never see it again. It's so rewarding because we could all use more organization in our email life. We worked out a great deal for our listeners. Here's what you do. You go to sanebox.com/investing. So that's Sane, S-A-N-E, box.com/investing today. And they're going to throw in an extra $25 credit on top of the 2-week free trial. Now, you don't have to enter your credit card information at all unless you decide to buy. So there's really nothing to lose at all. Check it out today. Let me know how much you'll love it. And check out the black hole feature. It is fantastic. And reaching inbox zero, I love it. And I rub it in the faces of my friends. I'm like, look, inbox zero. They're like, how did you get your inbox down to zero? Oh, check it out. Sanebox.com/investing. I love these guys. I wouldn't be able to do my job without them. Thanks, Sanebox. We've got wholesaling, number one. Number two, location. Number three, we need to make sure that we are consistent with our rents and we're getting a good rent for our property and the return on investment. So there's a couple of ways to figure out ROI, return on investment. And I'm going to give you two different formulas here to play with when you're thinking about high return real estate. Number one is my typical ROI formula. If you've watched the show or listened to the show, you know the formula inside and out. It's a super conservative formula. People think I'm crazy because I do 40%, meaning I take out 40% for vacancy, repairs, expenses, taxes, all that stuff. 40%. Now, I have investor friends who own hundreds and hundreds of properties who laugh at me and think that even 20% is fine. 30% they say is still crazy. 40% I'm out of my mind. What does that mean? What do I mean 40%? Well, that means that I'm taking 40% out just in case. So when the money that I'm walking away with, my net return on investment, I've removed 40% as a set aside. I put that in like a vault as like a worst case scenario. And what am I left with? That is my net return on investment, my net ROI, okay? And that 40% is there just in case. I have vacancies, I have repairs, I have those other things. So how do we figure out ROI? I'm gonna give you a second way to figure this out in a second, but let me just give you my normal formula for figuring out ROI. So let's take an example of a $50,000 house, okay? A $50,000 house. Let's do it this way. Let's say that $50,000 house rents for $750 a month, okay? We're going to take $750,000 times 12 months, And then we're going to multiply that times 0.6. So times 0.6, why do we multiply times 0.6 times 60%? Because that means we're removing 40%, right? So multiply it times 0.6, that gives us our net. Now that's $5,400 a month. Now the gross, what was the gross? Ready? $750 a month times 12 is $9,000 a year. Is my gross that I'm going to make off of that rental property. Well, I want to take 40% out. So now I'm going to multiply that times 0.6 and I have $5,400. So $5,400 is what I will be left with. Worst case scenario, if I have four months of vacancies, suddenly I have to repair a furnace and put on a new roof and all of those things. Worst case scenario, I'm walking away with $5,400 a year. Now, how do we figure out ROI? Great. Now I'm going to divide that number, that $5,400, by the all-in cost of that house. The all-in cost was $50,000. So I'm going to divide that by $50,000. And I'm left with about an 11% return. So that's 0.108 rounded up. That's at about 11% return on investment, 11% ROI. And if you have trouble with the decimal point, you can also multiply that number times 100 so that you can see it in the flesh, and then you'll see 10.8. So 10.8%, you round that up, that's about an 11% return on investment on that house. But there's another easier way to figure out return on investment. It's called the 1% rule. Now, so many of my real estate investing friends use this methodology. You've heard it on radio shows, you've heard it before. It's a simple way and a really effective way to figure out if it's a good investment you're making. The 1% rule. What is the 1% rule? If you're planning on buying a property that you'll rent out to one or more tenants, using the 1% rule when you decide whether or not the property is worth it will help you figure out the price you'll pay for it. So the 1% rule, my father-in-law uses this rule in all of the properties that he's bought. So when I was first telling him a number of years ago about the properties that my team does at Morris Invest, he said, let me just do the 1% rule on that real quick. And he did the 1% rule and he said, because he's from California, so he was getting like 4 and 5% returns. And he said, holy smokes, I'm in. He started. So now he's bought many, many properties with us. But it's very funny to hear him say that because the numbers make sense when you start doing that 1% rule. It simply states that an income producing property must produce 1% of the price you'll pay for it every month. So for example, let's just say we're doing the $50,000 house, okay? So let's say we're doing $50,000 house, okay? Then we're going to multiply that $50,000 times 1%, 0.01%, it's $500. Now every month, that $50,000 house should be producing at least $500 a month in rent. Well, guess what? The property we just used as an example, which what we typically do for our properties, was $750 a month in rent. So it breaks the 1% rule, but the minimum should be 1%, right? That's where you know it's still a good investment. So on a $50,000 house, it should be renting out for at least $500 a month. Well, guess what? That's the 1% rule. Anything above that, and the 1% is still high return real estate. So anything above that is just gravy. So if it rents for $600 a month, that's gravy. $700 a month, that's even gravier. Is that a word? $800 a month, that's even graviest. So there you go. Real simple ways to both figure out ROI using my formula, the 12 times 0.6 and taking out 40%, which is again really conservative, or the 1% rule, which is 1% of the purchase price of the property is what you want it to produce every month in rent to get high return on your real estate investing. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. This is the down and dirty way of making sure that you're getting high returns on your real estate. It really just comes down to that. There's nothing else fancier about it. You want to make sure your rent value is well under the cost of the home, that you're getting a high return on investment, that you're buying properties that are off market, that they're, you know, they're going to be a wholesale property. So you're not paying, you know, $20,000 more than the market value of that house through a realtor. And that you're getting consistent cash flow. And that's the end of the game. consistent cash flow on your rental property, and a high return on investment. Those are the simple numbers to figure out high return real estate. I hope you found this helpful. I've been getting a lot of questions lately from people who have purchased properties when they've spent $300,000, $400,000 on a property, and they're literally underwater because they purchased it wrong. So I hear this all the time from people, and I'm so glad to be able to help you on this journey. If you have any questions at all, please feel free to message me. You can always do that. Thank you so much for subscribing to the show and leaving any reviews that you can. It means the world to me that you're able to do that. And we publish this show multiple times a week. If you're ready to take action and you want to book a call with our team at Morris Invest, great. Come on over to our website. Just go to morrisinvest.com. And click on the schedule a consultation button. You can't miss it. It's right there in the middle of the screen. And we'll jump on the phone with you for 30 minutes to talk about your real estate investing goals in this journey. And we'll help you pick out your first rental property. And we will take great care of you. And by the way, our rental properties, yes, have a high return on investment. We are high return real estate. That's what we do in our house. So thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. Much love to you all.